Welcome back, friends. Welcome back to Solutions Watch. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, coming to you, as always, from the sunny climes of Western Japan. And boy, do I have a doozy of an idea for you today. Guerrilla marketing. What am I talking about specifically when I talk about guerrilla marketing? Well, let's establish the context. First of all, we all know about the problems. For example, the problem of online censorship, the would-be online tyrants cracking down and plugging all of the holes in their system of information control that they've constructed. Uh-oh, people are passing information that we don't like back and forth. We better create an entire narrative about how they're destroying democracy and work feverishly to, censor them and ban them and squash them from every platform. Anyway, you know about that. Either directly, not being able to post certain things to Facebook or what have you that you used to in the past, or you have seen your favorite independent media producers being squelched off various platforms like YouTube or Patreon, to name a couple. Well, okay, so that's one problem. And another problem is, as I'm sure everyone in the audience can relate to, so many people today being inundated by so much information that they're consuming on their screens, so passively scrolling through their feeds, that it all washes over, and the end of the world is about the same as the latest sports ball score. It's all just content that they're just scrolling past mindlessly as they zombify in front of their black mirror, right? How do you reach people in this environment? When A, you're being censored, and B, even if you do manage to get through to people, are you really getting through to people at all? Well, how about reaching out and touching them in the real world with something that, hopefully will gain their attention? What am I talking about? Well, let's go back to what we were talking about last week. You'll remember last week on the D program, we were talking about winning the meme war and looking at people who were spreading ideas online and the various types of fun and interesting memes that are being spread in the aim of raising awareness about these important issues that I'm talking about all the time at the Corbett Report. And for example, talk to Rick Fry, a.k.a. Winston Montag, a.k.a. Prophetic Memetics, and many other online monikers besides. And obviously, he did talk about the problem of censorship and having many of his accounts banned over the years, of course. So, well, he has a meme about that as well. So what do you do when you're sick and tired of censorship and shadow bans? And he has a number of pictures of homemade signs advertising thehighwire.com. All right, you're going to block this from me from posting this on Insta? All right, well, here it is in the real world. Try censoring that algorithmically. So anyway, very, very, very simple, very basic tool, but in some ways in this modern digital technological age, sometimes we seem to forget about the ways you can actually communicate with people in the real world that doesn't have to do with the device. So good to keep that in mind and good to see an example of that. That's just one example of many that I'm sure we could think of. And here's another. This came across my desk recently, quite literally. Someone sent a meme postcard into the P.O. box. So as you know, of course, you can send stuff to the P.O. box, the Media Monarchy P.O. box that is listed on MediaMonarchy.com. And every once in a while, Pilata will send a package over with stuff that has been sent for me. He'll send it over to Japan. And I got this recently. So this is a postcard showing Democrats and Republicans, regardless of your preference. They're both made of poison, which I think is an apt meme and certainly hopefully will unlock the mind of a propagandized statist or two. But okay, so this is a meme, but it's not being shared on Snapchat. It's in the real world. What is going on here, guys? Oh, okay. So you could quite easily get a number of these printed up. This is really just on standard photo stock paper, actually. So it could be printed up at home, actually, or at the local print shop, if such things exist anymore in North America. I don't know anymore. But anyway, this is relatively cheap to produce, but it is something physical. It is something tangible. It is something that you could stick in people's mailboxes or on their windshields or hand out to people. Or that's something that actually has some real-world weight to it that might be worth at least an interested glance. And hey, why not take advantage of the real estate on the back of this by putting, say, a QR code there that could link to more information about this subject? So maybe you have a documentary about this, or maybe you want to link to a Corbett Report piece. Hey, great. But how do you get people to sit down and watch a big Corbett Report documentary? Well, make an interesting, captivating little image or meme or something that you could print out and put in the real world that will capture people's attentions. And maybe it'll only be one person in 100, maybe one person in 1,000 will bother to follow that QR code, but there's another mind that may or may not be unlocked. So there are lots and lots of different ideas. Every time there's a problem, it's really just an opportunity to find interesting ways around that problem. And so I think that's the spirit of this guerrilla marketing that I'm talking about. Ways of getting around the online censorship and the online flood of information to actually reach people in the real world in ways that are, attention-getting, shall we say. And when we're talking about attention-getting, rule-skirting, interesting ideas related to activism, of course, you know, I'm going to bring up Ernie Hancock of Freedom's Phoenix, who runs, of course, the Declare Your Independence radio program, which you will know that I am a regular bi-weekly, bi-monthly guest, depending how that works. Bi-weekly is once every 2 weeks, or is it twice a week? Bi-monthly is once every 2 months, or twice a month? Anyway, you get it. I'm on Declare Your Independence every other week with Ernie Hancock, and we're talking about a number of things, including his activist projects. He's always got something on the go. And in that regard, we're going to talk about an idea that you should be familiar with if you are a longtime Corbett Reporter. Specifically, I'm talking about episode 333 of the Corbett Report podcast from 2018 on 5 privacies you didn't know you lost. If you don't remember this episode, I will suggest you go back and give it a listen or a re-listen, or read through the transcript or watch the video, because it has some interesting information in there, I hope, I trust, including the first one, which I hope was new to a lot of people, the privacy of garbage. Not something that you would tend to think about, or at least not something that I would tend to think about. You throw stuff out and it magically goes away, right? And that's it. Well, no. First of all, it's important to know that your garbage says an awful lot about you, and a lot could be gained from going through someone's garbage to find out more about them. But who would do that? Who would be interested in doing that? Not an average human being, but the psychopathic, inbred, eugenicist-twisted elitists who claim to rule over you are not your average person. And boy, if there is a way to exploit some sort of loophole or something to find out more information about you that they can use as leverage and possibly prosecute you, boy, you better believe they'll think about it. So, no surprise, yes, they have thought about it. And as I detail in this episode, in fact, in case you didn't know, prosecutors have been arguing for decades that you have no right to expectation of privacy in your trash, and no special license, permit, warrant, or secret agent badge is required to rummage through your rubbish. That's right. The agents of the state, at least in certain jurisdictions in the U.S., have argued in court on the record that garbage is fair game. You throw it on the, you put, once it goes out on the curb, anyone can rummage through it for any reason whatsoever. And so I talked, for example, about a Portland case back in 2002, talking about someone who had their garbage raided in the 90s, and it became this big political scandal, and then they started raiding the trash can of the DA and the police chief and the mayor and people who had supported this idea, and they are, suddenly it's a bad idea. No, you can't do that to us. Anyway, I do talk about that in this episode, so once again, do go back and give this episode a re-listen if you need to. But once again, every problem is a potential opportunity, right? And so when I am detailing these horrible things that the they, them, those are doing to us, we should also always have our thinking caps on for, well, how does this play? Maybe this could be a double-edged sword. Maybe there's a way to use this against the they, them, those that are trying to use it against us. So, okay, so they declare once it hits the curb, it's public, fair property, fair game. Anyone can come in and raid it or do what they want with it, right? Well, how can we use that for our benefit in an activist sense? Well, hopefully you already do know the answer to this. And that's because you will remember back last December, I had a conversation on Solutions Watch about open source education, which Hopefully you've checked out by now. You'll remember that website. It still exists. It's still there. I hope you use it as a resource. I think it's a great place to be directing people, especially normies of the conspiracy of avoidant personality type, might be more interested in open source education, an educational project to teach people about history and science and other just basic education topics. And anyway, you will know about this if you've at least seen this Solutions Watch episode, opensourceeducation.online, and you'll know that in this episode I do talk to Ernie Hancock about this, that whole website, and it was really his impetus, it was his idea, he brought it together, and I just, well, I created the website, and now it exists. So thank you, Ernie Hancock, for that. And you will remember that I link to the conversation from last November from the Declare Your Independence radio show, where Ernie, me and Ernie talk about it at some length. Great. Awesome. Cool. But if you did actually follow this link, and you actually did listen to the whole conversation, then you might know where we're going with this, because in addition to just launching opensourceeducation.online, okay, it exists, here it is, guys. Ernie also had a little activist campaign surrounding it, which, in typical irrepressible, inimitable Ernie style, was very attention-getting, shall we say. What did that have to do with? Oh, right, garbage is fair game once it goes out on the curb, right? So how about if, well, I'm not going to rummage through your garbage, I'm not going to take stuff out and find stuff about you, but what if I just put a little information pamphlet in there, to attach it to your trash can, so just so that you will definitely see it. And what if I make it somewhat eye-catching and somewhat, well, something attention-getting? So on that note, Ernie had this idea of something that he's done, well, from what I understand, a number of times in the past over the years, and he decided to do it in preparation for this campaign, specifically the trash can flyer idea. And this is, if you're watching the video of this, this is what it looks like. But more specifically, this is what it looks like once it reaches your trash can. Some enterprising young activists has a bunch of these trash can flyers, and they just put them on the trash cans in various neighborhoods. And there you go. And because once again, once it's out on the curb, once it's out there, it's fair game, public property. You have no right to expectation of privacy. Anyone can come along and stick any flyer on there they want, right? Right? That's what the DAs and prosecutors are arguing in court, so why not take advantage of this idea? And that's exactly what Ernie Hancock is operating on. So he's created this form, and it looks quasi-official. At first glance, when you look at it, you might believe this is a real thing that really came from some government agency, and what? There's some kind of logo, and they tell you which department they're from, and what they checked, and all of this. And it's written in this, it looks like a real felt marker of like a real person that's actually done this. It's actually all printed, but it looks fairly convincing at first glance. And then once you read through it, you start to think, what on earth is going on? And then there's a handy dandy phone number and hotline website where you can find more info at the bottom and a QR code. What on earth is this? All right, so this is another way of breaking through the onslaught of information that is inundating people in their screen time these days, and reaching them in the real world in a way that might be very attention-getting at first. And so, to talk more about this idea and where it came from, and the online censorship that first spurred and sparked this idea in Ernie, and how this form actually works, and he walks us through it. Let's take a listen to a little bit of an excerpt from this particular conversation where Ernie and I were talking about the trash can flyer idea.
They deplatform and shadow banning, all that kind of crap on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and everything, Freedom's Phoenix. And that, so we knew this was coming. So no more censorship was going to happen then. Freaking on Freedom's Phoenix. I guarantee it. After we doing the Levolution, all stuff we were doing. So we got an early dose of them. We like test marketing them. So we could see it was coming. So we knew we had to do this kind of activism to where you are bypassing all these kind of controls. Now, when it says here, while you are out, Agent 4409, stop by on behalf of, well, it's CIA, FBI, NSA, INS, ATF, SSA, DEA, IRS, FAA, SEC, FDIC. I mean, there's all kinds of these departments. But the one that we check, you know, is Office of Total Information Awareness that goes along with the logo up here. So that kind of gets them on edge to begin with. because you were out, we didn't catch you. We decided to ask your neighbors, children, spouse about unregistered firearms or suspicious behavior, recent purchases. We inspected your garden, your garage, your pets, your wallet. We let ourselves into your residence, business, safe. We read your email, mail, diary, smartphone, social media post. So we mark social media post, and then we check your waste, and then we mark garbage for suspicious purchases because it's under the lid of the garbage can. Now, what a lot of people don't know is once it hits a sidewalk, it's public property. You know, now, if you're in a private community or you have private waste management comes and does it, and it's not a municipal corporation doing it, then you have more privacy. They got to get a warrant to go through your trash and so on. So whenever they try and take these private communities and make it municipal trash, we bring this up. We bring these out. The Hills will have eyes, you know, or something. You know, Fountain Hills did it, and the logo is a little bit different, and we made a big deal out of it because we needed people to understand once a municipality starts taking your trash, you don't have any claim to privacy anymore. When it's on the public sidewalk in a public receptacle, it's going to public get dumped or whatever. Anybody can play, hey, I didn't go up to your door. I didn't cross your white picket fence. I didn't go on your yard. I didn't go up to your door like these other solicitor scumbags done. I put it in the trash. You didn't like it. Just let go of it. And it goes in the trash. I mean, you know, no muss, no fuss.
Might I just point out, I do have something on that in the Corbett Report archives. I did a five privacies you didn't know you lost. And one of them was talking specifically about garbage searches.
Yeah, that's, you know, and the only reason I know that was from some 70s TV series cop thing or something. Yeah. But, you know, this is a good thing to know. Now, of course, it has. We checked garbage for suspicious purchases, but there's also your waste is sewage, smoking, birth control, legal drugs, DNA sample collection, receipts. I mean, we put all this stuff in there. Sometimes we'll placed a wiretap on your communications, installed video, audio surveillance equipment, conducted an inventory of all RFID tagged food and merchandise. Now, the reason we put that in there is they started doing years ago is a van could go by and just scan your house. When they scanned your house, it would inventory everything that was in your pantry, you know, because they had these little RFID chips and so on. I'm going, I don't think people know that this is common. So we inspected your whatever. Now, the one that we always make sure we mark is this. We're sorry. This information is privileged. Divulging any information of this search is a violation in accordance with the Patriot Act and is punishable by up to 10 years in federal prison, or you may be subjected to indefinite detention. Well, this is true. This is the things that they were doing. You go, hey, man, they were, you're not allowed to tell anybody that we did this. So, of course, you know, that kind of gets some of these guys nutted up. Then, as a result of the visit, feel safer knowing that your government is doing all it can to protect you. You are considered a person of interest and your purchases may be monitored and your bank accounts frozen. I don't like that one. You are under arrest or advised to turn yourself in immediately. So, you know, those don't get checked often. But this one is the one. It's always, this is the psychological buildup up to the last thing here. Now, we've done it for mandatory vaccinations, you know, registering firearms, Second Amendment violations, surveillance, all kinds of stuff. And we were able to put it all into one here. To receive your free CBDC wallet, central bank digital currency, you may be required to update your vaccination status and register your firearms. For more information, please call these two numbers. Now, there's two sides of this. There's this one, and then we cut it in half. There's another one. So there's two numbers on this flyer and two numbers on the other one. Those are newsrooms. When they call them, they're like, it starts off. They're like, what the heck is going on? Finally, they'll have somebody send them a copy, take a picture. They'll get it. Then they send out the reporter. They go and they find out who it is. And they're going to have to try and find James in Japan and me on a bus in the desert. So I just, you know, bring it. But eventually they will, because they always do. So then it has here authorities for this proceeding postulates are delegated by the following articles: National Defense Authorization Act of 2012, sections 1021 to 1022. If you go and read that, You know, it is scary as hell. So, you know, yeah, we can do whatever the heck we want. For more information, aztiphotline.info, QR code, we know the truth. And then, again, we are sorry that we missed you, but rest assured, we know where you live. By the time you get through this, you're kind of going, but for the statist out there, it's already pissed them off. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing they can do about it. You know, now that doesn't mean there's nothing. They're going to something Ernie one of these days, you know, because they can't.
Well, before they something Ernie one of these days, you can catch him at freedomsphoenix.com, where you can find, well, in the show notes for today's episode, obviously the link to that complete conversation where we talk about open source education and this guerrilla marketing campaign to raise awareness of it. And there's a lot to be said about this kind of campaign and the interest that it inevitably generates, because you better believe people who might scroll past something through their newsfeed as they're just going mindlessly about their day probably will take a second look at this notice from some government official about searching my garbage. What is going on here? It certainly does generate attention, at any rate. And there are better and worse ways of generating attention, but this is one of them. And I am not, as always, as you know, I am not telling anyone what to do or what not to do, and this is certainly not legal advice of any sort, and I have no idea what laws may or may not pertain in whatever patch of land you may or may not be living in on God's green earth right now. Who knows? So I'm not saying that, and even if this is technically legal, at the point at which it becomes widespread, they'll just come and crack down on it with some new law or criminalize it in some way. But hey, at any rate, this is an idea that exists in the world, and I think it's an interesting one with some interesting results. And it really does at least provide an answer to the question of how do you get people to understand the gravity of the situation? How do you inform people about, for example, in the U.S., about the Patriot Act and the absolute evisceration of the Bill of Rights that act represents, and the secret searches and the indefinite detentions of the NDAA 2012 and all of these other bits that are documentable and verifiable and right there on the record in black and white? It's not a secret hidden agenda. It's out there in the open. But how do you get people to even pay attention to it? Well, sometimes you might have to, well, get their attention in ways that may not be obvious at first. And I can attest to the fact that this particular trash can flyer campaign has generated some interest among certain sheriff's departments that have gone to the trouble of posting notices up on public billboards to watch out for this scam in your trash can, folks. We believe it might have originated in Puerto Rico or something. Okay. Anyway. Who knows? And as I say, I'm not telling people what to do or what not to do or giving any sort of legal advice, but I am saying put your thinking cap on, because I think it is an important and perhaps an increasingly important question to answer. How do we break through not just the censorship, but also just the wall of noise that people are generally subjected to day to day, to get them to take a look and stop and contemplate the very, very serious nature of the things that we are talking about here? I mean, it is a huge deal that the government, literally, the U.S. government says it can come and abduct you and hold you indefinitely as an enemy combatant, and you have no legal recourse to that whatsoever. They can come and search through your garbage. They can. There will be CBDCs coming. They're going to do all of this. This is not pie-in-the-sky stuff. How do you get people to look at this reality square in the face? Well, you know what I do. I do the Corbett Report, and I put this information out there, and that's my role in all of this. This is what I'm doing. I'm putting information out there. But how do you get people to pay attention to the information? Well, that's something that you're going to have to think about in your own life and in your own ways. And I'm very interested to hear some other creative ideas, suggestions, things that people have actually done, actual activist campaigns that you have done, or that you have seen or participated in or read about, and their results, or things that you are thinking of doing and perhaps want to get information or advice or feedback about. Well, all of that, of course, will be in the comments for today's edition of Solutions Watch at corbettreport.com/solutionswatch-guerrilla-marketing. That's a lot of letters to be typing in. Anyway, it'll be on the front page of Corbett Report for a day or two. So, on that note, please do get your ideas in. I'm interested to hear about them. But I think it is certainly something that we have to think about. Guerrilla marketing, ways of reaching out to people that they wouldn't otherwise expect. And that's going to do it for this edition of Solutions Watch. Thank you for joining me. I'm James Corbett of CorporateReport.com. Looking forward to talking to you again in the very near future.